No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, with your MLB trade deadline primer for the Colorado Rockies. Also need to talk about the Houston Astros series starting today on Tuesday at Coors Field in Denver. But the trade deadline, July 31st, is going to be another critical one for the Rockies, as it is for every team that is out of contention, every team whose future is uncertain. And every team essentially has an uncertain future. Every team has a limitation for their window of contention. Even the Dodgers have a future to be somewhat concerned about. They're playing for the right now. They're the most extreme example of that. But to say that they're not thinking about their future is foolish. I mean, look back at the trade that they made at the beginning of 2024 when they traded two big leaguers in Michael Busch and Yency Almonte, who I would say, probably didn't have much of a place on the roster, but they were still valuable big leaguers that they would have kept around and they would have utilized. But instead, because they are forward-thinking, they traded those two players for prospects that I think one, if not both, have been on one or multiple top 100 lists in Zahir Hope and Jackson Ferris. But when you are a team that is about to lose their third consecutive 100 loss campaign, and maybe you're going to set the record for most losses in the modern era in a single season, you really need to make sure you get this right as much as possible. And knowing full well that the roster that you have and most, if not all, of the pieces are not worth keeping. I'll get into that. If that's true, there's not any piece worth keeping. But if most of those pieces aren't worth keeping, it is going to make it kind of hard for those guys to have a certain level of value that's going to bring back some serious talent. You know, it's one thing when the Chicago White Sox, who lose 121 games last year, but you look at their roster and you say, damn, they actually have a couple pieces. Look at what they got for Garrett Crochet from Boston. They got a nice haul there. They did. And they're going to get a lot for Luis Robert Jr. when that time comes. So it helps when you've got superstar players not making a lot of money. That increases the value. The on-field value is one thing. The contract value can add further value to what you're seeing on the field. And the Rockies don't really have a lot of that top-tier talent. Now, a lot of the sources, a lot of the baseball, the top baseball sites around the league, you know, they've got their thoughts on the Rockies right now and what might happen at this year's trade deadline. The Athletic created a list and grouped these teams together. The Rockies were, of course, on the bottom of that list, meaning that they're not acquiring any talent and that they should 100% be selling. They wrote, quote, "The Marlins are obviously rebuilding and the Rockies have been doing ... something. They should be rebuilding. They should be selling. But history suggests they'll once again sit at the bottom of the NL West and do very little to actually move the needle at the deadline." And, you know, we'll see. Proof is in the pudding. I don't know. The Rockies, the only way that they can really be aggressive look, the we know that Ryan McMahon and Jake Bird are the two top trade candidates. Trading them, I don't think constitutes being aggressive, especially when the entire league knows those are your two best players to trade away. Now, if you were to trade from outside that group, maybe even some younger players than that, I'll get to it. Now, all of a sudden, hey, that's a little bit more aggressive. And as aggressive as the Rockies were in 2023, they didn't get back a ton, but they did get some depth. They did get some quantity, which they needed because they hadn't gotten any of it the previous 2 years. Again, the word that came off the lips of one MLB executive was malpractice for the 2021 and 2022 trade deadlines by the Rockies front office, owner Dick Monfort, GM Bill Schmidt. And then they were aggressive in 2023, followed it up with a not so aggressive 2024 trade deadline. They need to be aggressive this year and really the next 2 years and really each offseason, which they have not been aggressive on the trade front whatsoever. So the criticism by The Athletic is fair. MLB.com wrote, quote, "They," speaking of the Rockies, "could be very interesting if Schmidt decides to really open things up," one NL exec said, talking to Mark Feinsand. "That's not what's typically done at the deadline, so I don't know if there's something we can expect, but they have pieces that can help teams." Yeah, very true. Now, the ESPN article, they ranked the 50 top players that could be had at this year's trade deadline. And it was fascinating how these players for the Rockies are total opposites. Like Ryan McMahon and Jake Bird are total opposites in every way possible. From their position, from their contract type. Their age is actually a lot closer than you probably realize. But they're very much opposites. The two guys on that list was Ryan McMahon and Jake Bird. Let's get into each guy individually. So Ryan McMahon, he signed a six-year, $70 million contract ahead of the 2022 season. He had 2 years remaining before reaching free agency. So he would have been a free agent after 2023. So what the Rockies did was bought out 4 years of free agency. They bought out 2024, 2025, 2026, and 2027. So after this year, he's still got 2 more years left remaining for $32 million. So $6 million annually. Don't forget that essentially if he were to get traded anytime soon, you've got about $6 million, a little bit less than that, that you still have to pay him because his contract this year is $12 million. And we're just past the halfway point. So that's $38 million another team would be taking on for a guy that, yes, is a Gold Glove, perennial Gold Glove Award winner. He's 30 years old. And again, you get him for the next 2 years in his age 31 and age 32 season. So still on the younger side. MLB Trade Rumor said, and I like this comparison, and I hadn't viewed it through this spectrum, but it's true. MLB Trade Rumor said, quote, "McMahon is back to his all-star form," talking about this year, "and the Rockies shouldn't waste the opportunity. He's being paid 12 this year, about $3.8 million remaining post-deadline." Would it really be that little? Perhaps. I feel like it would be more than that. But you are talking about only 2 months of the season, so that's about one-third. Yeah, I guess that's right, if you were to wait until the last minute. And $16 million in both 2026 and 2027. Compare that to what a plus defensive third baseman like Matt Chapman commanded on an extension beginning at age 32. Now, of course, we're talking about the Giants. They were a little bit more desperate, but still, Matt Chapman, similar profile. McMahon does not have the same power in his bat. We do know that he can go missing for long stretches of time, but Chapman, a guy who does have actual Gold Glove awards, he has won the award multiple times before, but at the beginning of his age 32 season, 6 years, $151 million. So MLB Trade Rumor saying McMahon, again, looks like a massive bargain. Brewers, Tigers, Yankees, Cubs, Reds have gotten poor production from third base and could all have interest. So McMahon did not start off the year playing very well. And while he doesn't seem to have been a world beater offensively, he has been playing better, more solid all around. I think on another roster with a little bit more protection behind him, or how about any protection behind him in the lineup, you're going to get more out of his bat. His glove never slumps. And now is the time to do it. You missed your opportunity last year. The Rockies are almost always a year behind. They are never, almost never proactive. And they're always reactive when it's too late. And they've got a reprieve with McMahon playing as well as he's been. They've gotten a reprieve. If they wait one more year because they think, I don't know what, hey, let's trade some other guys and then we'll trade McMahon next year so we get a little bit more out of him, a name that the fans know because that is a value to fans according to the front office. I don't know that it is. But if they kick the can down the road one more year, this opportunity may not come about in a year's time or even in this offseason. It might not. Teams are getting essentially a three-war player. He's still an elite defender. Four-time finalist for the NL Gold Glove Award at the hot corner, 2021 through 24. So since Nolan Arenado left. He is, you know, again, he's probably just average to above average at the plate. And we know he can have a tendency for a slump here and there. But he's got one of the best abilities in baseball. Availability. 708 games since the start of 2020. That's how many games that there's been. McMahon has played in 661 of those games. So he is a grinder. He really is. He has a lot of value. And the longer that the Rockies wait, the longer they mishandle the situation. Because the point still stands about Elias Diaz, Brendan Rodgers, Daniel Bard, et cetera, et cetera. There is a time in which a player is healthy and is a viable commodity and is a viable asset. And as soon as that player gets hurt, you have now lost the window. You don't know. You don't know when that's going to be. So it's a ticking time bomb. And the longer you wait, the greater the odds are that the clock is going to run out and you will not be able to take advantage of the situation. You have to trade those players as soon as possible. Both of these guys probably should be off this roster by now. I understand that some teams do play hardball, and the longer you wait towards the last minute, teams are willing to pay a lot more. But I think the Rockies have had issues with understanding that clock and understanding the value of their players and understanding what teams are actually willing to take. And I think they've got an opportunity now that they need to seize. Jake Bird is a great example because he has not pitched as well in his last several outings. Bird did go an inning and a third on Sunday, but you look back at his previous 15 games, so it's skewed a little bit about with recent games in mind. So let me actually give you his last seven games. 5.87 ERA, 7 2/3 innings pitched, only 6 strikeouts. This is just the time of year where he's usually sapped because he's been used so much. I talked about it last week. I've talked about it in the last 2 weeks that his ERA in July and in September, I think, is the worst in of all the months because he's catching up because he's been used so much. He's been relied upon, which is great, but that can have a negative impact on his numbers. And we've seen a negative impact on his numbers as of recent. So now all of a sudden, does his stock go down a little bit? Sure. The teams that like him still like him. But now all of a sudden, now the offers maybe are a little bit less. So you have to seize this opportunity to deal him. I understand that when you get rid of a guy with the talent of a Ryan McMahon or a Jake Bird or anybody else I talk about, you now lose that guy going forward. And you go, man, Jake Bird is important for winning ball games in 2026, 2027, even in 2028, because he's got 4 more full seasons of club control after this. He's not even arbitration eligible. He might possibly be eligible to be a Super 2 candidate through arbitration. But you're saying, man, that means we don't have Jake Bird. Jake Bird and no singular player is going to turn this roster around, is going to turn the fate of the team around. This is a team sport. You need all 26 guys on the 26-man roster to contribute. And where do they come from? The 40-man roster. So you need a strong 40-man roster, and the Rockies do not have that. And they are just not going to be able to create one for another 3 years. In 2021, when the roster was poor after the trade of Nolan Arenado, the writing was on the wall that it was going to continue to be poor in 3-4 years' time. They did nothing at the trade deadline in 21 and 22. And that is why the roster is the way it's at right now. The roster is going to continue to be like this in 3-4 years if they don't do something now. This is your opportunity. So as much as Jake Bird or Ryan McMahon or anybody else is going to contribute to wins in the next 3+ years, those wins are irrelevant, just like the wins this year are irrelevant because you're not going anywhere. The wins in 2023 were irrelevant, and the wins in 24 and the 22 and 21, all irrelevant because you didn't have a roster to compete. Until you have a roster that competes, those wins are fruitless. They only bear fruit if you are going upward, and the Rockies are not there yet. So you don't need these kinds of players. So Jake Bird, 4 more years of club control. Now, going back to what I said about him being a Super 2 candidate. So the Super 2 rule, let's get in the weeds a little bit because you might find this interesting. But there is a rule in the collective bargaining agreement that certain players are considered, quote, Super 2 because they have more than 2 years of club control, but they don't have, or rather, excuse me, they have more than 2 years of service time, but they are not at 3 years of service time. Once you reach 3 years of service time, now you can go into arbitration. But there are some players that fall just short of that mark that they said, okay, the top 22% that don't have three but have more than two, those guys become Super Two. And then they go through the arbitration process 4 times, which means their final year before free agency, they're going to be making a decent amount more than most other guys in their class. Like Ryan Feltner was Super Two. So he's going to go through the arbitration process 4 times. So he got paid a little bit more this year than he would than most other guys that don't have 3 years of service time. So that means you're going through the process more. And each time you go through the process, you get fairly compensated for that. When you're making league minimum, you're making league minimum, and the team is not going to choose to just pay you more for funsies. You're just not. So we'll see if Bird is in that Super 2 class. In 2019, it was 2 years and 115 days of service time. Sometimes if you are looking on a baseball site, you might see 2.115. That means 2 years and 115 days of service. So everything after the decimal is days. So Jake Bird, assuming he doesn't get optioned to the minors at all, will start next year at 2 years and 117 days of service. So there's a chance he's in that top 22%. So if he misses the cutoff, you know, that's bad for him because it means essentially he's going to make league minimum again next year. But that's going to be great for his employer because that just means he's going to get the minimum and then 3 years of arbitration and not 4 years of arbitration. Because when you get 4 years of arbitration, you make more money earlier and therefore you make more money later and you have less of a surplus value. So, and I think when Bird does get to arbitration, whether it's next year or in the beginning of 2027, he's not going to make a ton of money because saves are rewarded in arbitration and Bird hasn't been a closer. So that's going to help keep his contract value down. I think there's probably some teams out there. I don't know that the Rockies have a large enough team in their analytics department to crunch these numbers because, again, it's operating on the margins, which a lot of teams do. That's what makes them better. And I don't know that the Rockies care about the margins quite as much. They should. But I'm sure there are plenty of teams out there that can probably already figure out if Jake Bird is in that top 22%. If you're a fan out there that can figure that out, that would be really impressive. That would probably be good enough to do a presentation at the Sabre National Convention, which did just wrap up in Dallas over the weekend. That was a cool event that some of the members of our Rocky Mountain chapter of Sabre in Denver participated in. But that would be an interesting study project. And if honestly, if you did something like that, if you were able to figure that out, I'm not going to say that's going to get you a job in a front office or an analytics team, but that could open some doors for some teams that might want to talk to you and say, hey, that was impressive that you were able to put that together and you dug into the minutia of what front offices do. Because if you know that Jake Bird is not going to be arbitration eligible next year, then all of a sudden his value is worth a little bit more because he's not going to be making more money in arbitration next year. Now, Bird is 29 years old, and with four more years of club control, that takes him through his age 33 season. So for him, his best asset is his durability in a similar way like McMahon's best ability is availability and some flexibility because, you know, could McMahon end up going back over to second base, playing that a little bit for a team that needs him? Sure. First base? Yeah. I mean, the dude's an athlete. Could he play corner outfield? Maybe. You know, I know his knees have given him some issues, but as a guy who is a grinder and wouldn't mind winning a World Series ring, you know, I could see him doing that and being successful. With Jake Bird, he's durable. He can go multiple innings. He can rebound quickly. He doesn't have a big track record of injuries. And a new team can look after him a lot better and set him up for more success. His first half ERA as a big leaguer, 3.63. His second half, when he's been taxed and tired, fatigued, 4.70. So here we go. And here they are in my notes. I wrote this probably a couple days ago. So that's why I feel like I talked about it on the pod in the past. No, I didn't. So breaking it down by months, he's got a sub-4 ERA in four of the 6 months of the season. And when I say four, March, April are coupled together, and September, October are coupled together. He's got an inflated ERA in July, 6.75. An inflated ERA in September/October, 5.21. In other words, trade him before the calendar turns to July. Is he better versus righties than lefties? No, pretty even splits his entire career. Although this year he has a much higher strikeout to walk ratio versus left-handed batters. So opposite-handed guys, he's getting out. That's nice. Looking at the rest of the roster, guys that are on expiring deals that are going to be free agents after this year, I think all of them could have value for a team. Not a ton. I think there's question marks with all of them. Maybe the fewest amount of question marks is probably Germán Márquez, especially considering with how well he has been pitching now over his last 8 starts with an ERA just under 3. He's been really good. And as a guy that, you know, hasn't been with another organization, I think he could benefit from what a new organization is able to show him. I think he could be a good candidate for whatever team ends up signing him, a loyal guy like him. He might say, yeah, no, keep me around for the next year. Absolutely. Now, with Gomber and Márquez, because they started the season with the Rockies, that means they are eligible for a qualifying offer. We don't know what that number is going to be. It's going to be like $22 million. And they could come back on a one-year $22 million deal, similar to the franchise tag in the NFL. But it's 1 year. And if they decline it and sign with somebody else, then you get a compensation draft pick.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
But Gomber and Márquez are not worth $22 million for next year, so neither of them would get the qualifying offer. And when you give a guy a qualifying offer, that hurts his value in free agency because any team that signs that guy that rejected a qualifying offer, they now have to give up a draft pick. So there is zero chance that either of those guys get a qualifying offer. So, you know, in a different instance, that was one of the talking points with Trevor Story back in 2021 was, well, if you don't trade him, then you give him the qualifying offer. He's probably going to reject it because he can't wait to get out of Colorado. Then when you go sign somewhere else, you get a compensation draft pick. First off, I don't know that the Rockies should really want a draft pick at this point with their track record of developing players. So a draft pick is really just a, not a future headache, but it's a future disappointment. Get something that can help you out now. Get something that can help you out now. The draft pick that they got for losing Trevor Story is still yet to make his major league debut and contribute to this team. That was back in 2021 when they could have gotten big league help immediately. So you trade Gomber Marquez. Don't worry about the qualifying offer. Gomber still has to show that, you know, he's got more in the tank. I think, you know, he's come back. He's looked better than I would have imagined for a guy that essentially missed all of spring training and didn't go out on a ton of rehab starts. So good for him. He's definitely looked pretty good. Don't think you can get a ton for either guy, but Marquez, I think, has the most value of the three players on expiring deals. Orlando Arcia, the other one. I think he can contribute to a team. You might get a guy from low A. You might even get a Dominican Summer League player. Take it. It's a lottery ticket. It's fine. There's a few other trade candidates that have options for next year. So, you know, you could look at them as guys on a one-year deal, sure. But, you know, it should be noted that these three players I mentioned all have a $750,000 buyout. So, you know, the Rockies might have to kick in some money because the team's going to go, well, hey, I don't know that we want this guy around for next year. We just want him for this year. So can you chip in $750,000 so we don't have to go out of our own pocket to get rid of this guy? And if the Rockies have to do that, they got to do that to get a prospect back. That's fine. Because guess what? If they don't want to keep these guys around next year at several millions of dollars, they're still going to have to chip in $750,000 to buy them out. So Tyro Estrada, who's set to make $7 million next year, important to note that Tyro Estrada came into this year with 4 years plus of service time. So even if the Rockies decline his option on next season, Estrada can still return for 2026 because he has one more year of club control through arbitration. And the Rockies might decide, all right, we'll give you $750,000. And we think you're probably going to make, you know, just under $6 million in arbitration. So we're still going to save money. So Estrada, again, that's why he's in the group of options for 2026 because he's got a contractual option. And then he also just has the fact that he has not earned the right to be a free agent because he doesn't have 6 years of service time after this season. Tyler Kinley has a $5 million option on next year. Kyle Farmer, $4 million. I could see the Rockies wanting to hold on to Kinley to contribute next year as a veteran reliever. But if you can get something and go out on the free agent market and get another veteran for $2, $3 million. Which sounds easier said than done because look what happened with Scott Alexander this year. That didn't work out. But I think you got to suck it up. You got to suck it up and see if you can pick up players off the scrap heap. Brent Suter was a waiver wire pickup, as was Jimmy Herget. Those are the kind of guys that you are going to, and this is going to sound like it's a knock on those players, but it's not, stuck with. Those are the kind of guys you're going to get stuck with because free agents, you're going to have to pay a little bit more for, even if you're talking the bottom of the free agent reliever barrel. And then again, what are you going to get? Are you going to get another Scott Alexander situation on your hands where you don't even get 2 months out of the guy? I don't know, maybe. But if you're looking at players that don't have a long leash left, Tyro Estrada, Tyler Kinley, and Kyle Farmer, with 1 year remaining, so you've got this year and you've got all of 2026. Sam Hilliard, which we know doesn't have a ton of value there, as a guy who did make the opening day roster and, you know, is a fourth outfielder at best. So on a postseason playoff club, I don't know that he has a place. So I don't think we're going to see him getting moved. And the Rockies, with their loyalty, I think they said, hey, you know what? This guy's been actually really great for us, and he has. You know, a lot more behind the scenes than on the field, but we've also seen him play pretty darn well this season. He was great last year. So Hilliard's probably going to stay put. But Kyle Freeland, $16 million this year, $16 million next year. There's also a mutual option for 2027. Look, he's the Colorado kid. We know he's probably not going anywhere. Antonio Sensatella, $12 million this year, $12 million next. There's also an option for him in 2027. I don't know that anyone's going to be interested in his services, so he is probably going to stick around as well. You got Mickey Moniak and Jimmy Herget. Both those guys are still in arbitration. Moniak, 27 years old. Jimmy Herget, is he 33? So he's on the older side. So yeah, they can be around next year still on the cheap. And Moniak's been playing a lot better, and I'm sure it would be easy for the Rockies to fall in love with a guy like him. But remember, he was picked up off the scrap heap. There are guys like that around the league every year that get poached off of waivers, that get traded for because their team designated him for assignment and don't want him sticking around in the same league, let alone same division. So let's trade him over to the NL. There are guys like that every year. But it's not every year, not every summer at the trade deadline, that you can get something of value to improve your farm system, which is something the Rockies desperately need. If they come calling for any of these players, you need to listen. You really do. Other guys with trade value, Seth Halvorsen. Yeah, I've seen his name floated out there. Victor Vodnik, Angel Chivig, Ryan Feltner, who is on the IL right now, so you're not trading him. But going back to what I said earlier, if these guys aren't going to be around in 3-4 years, why are you holding on to them when you can get something that will improve your roster going forward? Look at that Juan Soto trade. Caveat, Rockies don't have a Juan Soto. But the Padres, when they got Juan Soto, they got him for 2.5 seasons. Less than 2.5. And they kept him around for 1.5, and then they traded him. So they got 2.5 seasons of Juan Soto, and what they gave up was something like 35 years of club control. The Nationals now have CJ Abrams for 6+ seasons. 6 years of service time, but if you're optioning guys back and forth, you really can get a 7th season out of a guy. But 6+ years of CJ Abrams, all-star. 6+ years of James Wood. We'll find out on Sunday if he's an all-star. He will be. 6+ years, or 6 years really, of Mackenzie Gore, because he had already debuted. If you trade any of these guys, like a reliever, anyone, each guy that you get has 6+ years of big league control. For what? 4 or 5 years of control when your team is not very good? Yeah, no. And I understand that you could look at someone like a Seth Halvorsen and say, hey, this guy could be the next Adam Ottavino and have himself a really long, like a 15-year career. Even if he had a 10-year career, that's a huge success, especially for a relief pitcher. Props if you can last for 10 years, even if it isn't getting your full pension after 10 years of service time. Just 10 years in the majors, even if you're going up and down, props. But to say that you know that any, because the Rockies don't, nobody knows, not even the Dodgers. Dodgers can't look at anybody on this team and say, hey, let's get this guy now, and he's going to be so good for the next couple of years that we're actually going to want to extend this player and get a nice, you know, club-friendly deal for even beyond that. So this guy is going to be in our uniform for the next, you know, 6 to 8 years. No team knows that. No team knows that. So you can't look and say, well, Patrick, come on. Next 3-4 years, yeah, they're still going to be pretty bad as they try to get better. But what about in years 5, 6, 7, and 8? This young guy could still be around contributing. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. We don't even know that about Ezekiel Tovar and Chase Dolander. There have been people within Major League Baseball and people that I've spoken to at Coors Field who look at this roster and say, there is nobody worth keeping. I don't know that I agree with that, but that is what some people say. Even Ezekiel Tovar and Chase Dolander, if you get the right package, and that's the other thing too, you're not just going to trade them to trade them. You're not. And you probably can get more in the offseason, because then you've got every team in baseball going, shoot, we weren't contending in 2025, but we think we might in 26. And if not 26, definitely 27. So we're in on this guy. We're in on Tovar or Dolander or both. I personally wouldn't do that. I think that's a little extreme, but I understand the sentiment, right? That are these guys going to be around for the next contributing team? The next contending team? I don't know. Now, there's three other guys that they're just in the category of not right now in terms of trade. Brenton Doyle, I think that's obvious with the struggles that he's been going through this year, and his value is just not at a high. No. Michael Tolia, we know, like, where is he going to be? Though I could see the Rockies maybe wanting to move on if they want to clear out space for Charlie Condon, but maybe that's not a move you necessarily need to make right now. But okay. He's still more in the not right now category. And then of course, Chris Bryant, I don't think he's ever going to have any trade value of any kind. His health just isn't stable. So no team is going to have interest in him from even that standpoint, coupled with the $28 million he's still due for the next 3 years, $28 million in 26, $28 million in 2027, and $28 million in 2028. That's a contract situation that is just not movable. So the Rockies, they got their work cut out for them, and they've had far too many guys in their outfield in the system for so long. And Bill Schmidt said at the beginning of 2024, it was at the end of the 2023 deadline or 2023 winter meetings, and then in spring training when I was down in Scottsdale, Arizona, that in terms of all of the outfielders that he had in Albuquerque at that time and still do, that, quote, it'll work itself out. That's a problem. Because these things don't work itself out. You're allowing the process to be the process. Yeah, separate the wheat from the chaff. No, the cream from the chaff. The cream rises to the top. Dig it, brother. So if you have an organization focused on not only player development, but player evaluation, you can look at six young outfielders and say, two are going to be good. Two we don't really know about. They might be. And two are just not going to do it. You don't need the process to play itself out. You just don't. You don't need to wait for natural selection. Get something of value for the guys that it's not going to work out for. And you know what? If they go out and they do work it out somewhere else, so be it. So be it. Use it to your advantage the next time you have a conversation and say, hey, look, you know what? We're not sure about this guy, but look at our last few guys that we dealt away, how good they were, because we've given them the tools. That's what we're saying. We've given them the tools. I know it seems like they haven't been able to put it together, but there are these underlying tools that they have that I bet you could lock even more with. So we need to get what we need to get. And you get back a little bit more for a guy that you're already down on. Rather than just sitting on these assets and getting nothing for it, you've got to be better than that. You've got to be. The future of the franchise is at stake here, as it is at every trade deadline, as it is every offseason. Oof. You tired? I'm not done yet. Houston Astros preview. Let's talk about them. They come into town today. They've won 6 of their last 7, 9 of their last 12. They're playing great. They just had their own little reunion with Kyle Tucker of the Cubs over the weekend. And we should get ourselves a reunion with Brendan Rodgers this week. But he's on the IL with an oblique strain. He's been out since June 17th. He's actually one of 13 on the Astros that are on the IL as of Monday. So it's kind of hard for the Rockies to complain when they've only got 5 guys on the IL, and one of them, Chris Bryant, we should have been expected to be on the IL for long durations of time this season. So I'm kind of curious if Rodgers is going to make this trip. Here are some details. You tell me, what do you think? What's your gut instinct right now? Shout it out. I can hear you. Okay. I didn't appreciate that language. Will he make the trip? I don't know. We'll see. Now, Rodgers is a little on the quiet side. So, you know, if he's banged up and on the shelf, he doesn't need to make the trip. So I wonder if he'd be more inclined to stay in Houston than talk to media. Not like, you know, anyone's going to be ripping him. No, we just kind of don't do that here in Denver. It's also not necessary. And anytime somebody does rip somebody in the media, it's never to their face. It's in print. It's after the fact. But I think Rodgers has plenty of friends in Denver to see. And so I would doubt he stays behind. I think he will be in Denver. How about this? Is he going to get a video package? Well, he wasn't great with Colorado, but he was good enough. Let me explain. 45 career home runs with the Rockies, 197 RBI, 266 batting average. You know, it's so-so for six parts of six seasons. Played 495 games. His 197 RBI is good for 28th all-time in Rockies history. Is that high? Is that low? It's kind of probably higher than I would have guessed, to be honest. Ahead of him is Jeff Cirillo, who had 198 RBI in just two seasons with the Rockies. He was an all-star at third base in the year 2000. So everybody above Rogers, when you look at the list of players with at least 197 RBI, everybody above him pretty much was remembered fondly. You know, obviously, once everybody in the top 10 is in that list of, oh, love that guy. Top 15, you love that guy. And then from number 16 to 27, or 16 to 28, you're going, all right, you know what? Some people like them. Some people don't remember them. But the top 15 is a lock for you to like. Actually, top 16, Els Burks. Yep, gotta like him. Chris Iannetta, number 17. Number 18, Clint Barmas, Nafi Perez, William Rosario, Eric Young Sr., CJ Krohn, Ryan Spielborgs, Preston Wilson. He'd be the one guy since he did it in such a short time span in 2003, 2005. Not a ton of folks talking about that era. He'd be the one exception. Elias Diaz, of course. Dexter Fowler, yeah. And then Jeff Cirillo, who 2000, 2001. Again, that era that is kind of forgotten about a little bit. Be nice if the Rockies remembered it. Be nice. We can get that team Hall of Fame, please. So you look at it from that perspective. Yeah, I think, you know, Rodgers is deserving of a video package in that way. He was a third overall pick in 2015 in the MLB draft out of Lake Mary High School in Florida as a shortstop. Was a top 100 prospect for a while. I'm sure that something's been written about this. I didn't Google it. But how many players have ever been in the top 100 of virtually every top 100 list of value from Baseball America to Fangraphs to Baseball Prospectus to MLB Pipeline 5 years in a row from 2016 to 2020? That, come on. There's no way anyone's on a list longer than that. That's crazy. He played for the Team USA for the Futures game twice. He did win a gold glove at second base in 2022. So, you know, I don't think you can really say he was a disappointment. I understand that fans feel fans for a guy with that kind of hype, I understand how that's a disappointment. But you go up and down first round draft picks, you go up and down top three picks in Major League Baseball, and there's a lot of guys who missed a lot more and did a lot less than Brendan Rodgers. So from that perspective, I understand where you're coming from, but not a true disappointment in the sense of Major League Baseball draft picks. It's not. Probable starters, we got today Chase Dolander against Colton Gordon, who's 3-1 with a 3.98 ERA. Wednesday, another 6:40 start. Gomber against Hunter Brown. Ooh, that's a good one. It'll be interesting to see how Hunter Brown fares at Coors Field, as he's got some room to make up, especially after how well Tarek Skubal pitched on Sunday Night Baseball. But Hunter Brown is in that conversation for AL Cy Young Award. And then the day game at 1:10, Kyle Freeland against Brandon Walter. Not the typical names of guys you're used to hearing starting for the Astros. 13 guys on the IL. Hey, please go over and rate this wherever you listen to this as a podcast. Seriously, it does a big deal for the algorithm and helps put me in the ear of a lot of other Rockies fans, a lot of the baseball fans. So I appreciate you listening. I'd appreciate if you just did a little bit extra, leave a review. It helps if you also leave a comment, even if it's just cool. Thanks, Patrick. That's it. That a couple words actually does even more for the algorithm than just saying 4 or 5 stars, whatever you think it's worth. But please leave a review. It's huge. It's critical in this game of sports media in 2025. So thanks for doing that. Hit me up over on X or Blue Sky at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, the Rockies Insider on all the social media platforms, including TikTok and YouTube. Get some good videos. I saw Shohei Ohtani warming up in the Rockies outfield at Coors Field. So there's some cool footage for you to check out, and some interviews. Warren Schaefer talking about how well Ryan Ritter has been playing since his debut and how great Ryan McMahon has been this season. So it could be one of the last times Schaefer is talking about Ryan McMahon as one of his own players. So you can see all that over on YouTube, the Rockies Insider channel. Thanks for dropping by. Thanks for all the momentum. But that momentum, unfortunately, can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.